Current State on 90.5 WKAR and on AM 870 WKAR every day at 12 o'clock noon. I'm Mark Bayshore. Ernest Hemingway, Gertrude Stein, John Dos Passos, John Herman. Well, a few of those names are more familiar than the last one, but John T. Herman was indeed a member of the influential Lost Generation of writers, and the author who wrote a book that was banned in 1926 grew up in Lansing. More is becoming known about Mr. Herman thanks to the work of an American scholar who visited Lansing just last week. Sarah Kosiba is an English professor at Alabama's Troy University. She spoke at an event sponsored by the Historical Society of Greater Lansing. Bill Castanier is vice president of that organization, and he joins us now with more about John Herman. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you very much for having us.
Tell us a little bit about this man, John Herman. This is a fascinating story.
Well, absolutely it is. John Herman was born in Lansing in 1900. He had a very, what we think is a typical childhood in Lansing. He went to Lansing High School. There's not much information available about him in that era, but he came from a very wealthy family, a family of tailors, the John Herman's and Sons Tailors. They were the largest, what is called the bespoke tailor in Michigan. They had 35 tailors working, and they did custom clothes for governors and people like William Kellogg, or Will Kellogg, rather. John grew up in that influential family. When he graduated from high school, he went to Washington, D.C. to train to be a lawyer. While he was there, however, he became part of that Capitol Press Corps very young. He was only 18, 19 at the time, and started writing nationally. His wanderlust got to him, and he moved back to Michigan, went to the University of Michigan for 2 years, where he studied drama. He performed in some major plays there that the Detroit Free Press covered, but then he made his move to Europe. He went to Munich for 2 years to study art, and after that, he moved to Paris in 1924, and that's sort of where his writing career takes off. John was an interesting person. He made friends easily. In fact, his first wife, he just met her in a coffee shop in Paris. And then he became part of, as you referred to, the Lost Generation, which was kind of what Gertrude Stein called the collection of authors and artists and photographers that met there and worked together.
What were the circumstances of his writing, What Happens?
Now, What Happens is a very autobiographical book. Takes place in a city called Benton, which is clearly Lansing. There are distinct places that he mentions that are in Lansing, Michigan. And John did this through his entire writing career. He used autobiographical scenes from his own life. And one of the things that happened in this book is there was a young woman who got pregnant, and the basically the protagonist of the novel moves away because of that. Later, he finds out that a woman was not pregnant by him, and so he moves back to Lansing. Now, what Herman does is he also incorporates his friends into these books. One was Paul Mixter, he used the real name in the book. And Paul Mixter was a 1 year ahead of him in high school. He went to the University of Michigan, and then he became a journalist and ultimately owned a newspaper in Southwest Michigan. But Paul wrote a letter to John saying he was not real happy about some of the circumstances he described in the book.
I was going to say it was thinly veiled, but in some cases it was not even veiled. It was not even thinly veiled.
Not even thinly veiled. And I think it would have been interesting to have been around during that time when this book came out, and there were a few copies available in Lansing because some of the Paris copies did make it here. They must have been made for hot reading.
Why was it banned?
Well, it was banned because in 1920s, the country was in the throes of a very conservative culture. Something as simple as describing an unwanted pregnancy would have gotten you banned, but words like masturbate, anything that referred to sex, prostitution, sometimes even excessive drinking by teenagers would have been banned. The U.S. Customs Department, when they seized it in 1926, I think they had more than 60 citations they thought would ban that book, and they presented that at trial, which he lost, by the way.
We're talking with Bill Castanier of Lansing City Pulse and the Historical Society of Greater Lansing about John Herman, whose novel What Happens has finally been published almost 90 years after it was banned for obscenity. What else did Mr. Herman create? Did he write many other books or stories?
Well, John wrote numerous short stories, and I personally believe that short stories were his strength. But he also wrote two additional novels, Summer Has Ended and The Salesman. And in each of those books, they're autobiographical. Summer Has Ended takes partially place in Lansing. The Salesman is about what John did when he wasn't writing. He was a traveling salesman. He sold jewelry. He sold books. He sold seeds as a young teenager. But his short story, as I mentioned, I think was his strength. In 1932, he won the National Long Short Story Contest sponsored by Scribner's for a tale about a salesman, The Last Big Trip. And basically, it's a story of a salesman, the end of his life, the end of his sailing career. It's during the Depression, and it's a powerful tale. For that short story, he shared that award with Thomas Wolfe. Thomas Wolfe, and he tied for it. Mm. So, I mean, it's the kind of range he could write in.
Was he arguably a much stronger short story writer than he was novelist? I mean, how are people responding to What Happens exactly?
Well, I think,
in literary critical kinds of terms.
I think in literary terms, what makes John interesting is he wrote a lot like Hemingway. He was a very sparse writer, very clear, straightforward. He wrote about things in a vernacular language, which was not common up until that point of Hemingway. And I think that kind of writing lends itself better to short stories. There's some interesting letters that Sarah Kosiba has been finding, and that's how she's putting the pieces together about his life. And they're all over the United States.
Why is it taken 90 years to publish this book?
That's a darn good question. Sarah was one of the first people to even discover John Herman. And she did that while working on a dissertation about a decade ago. He's an asterisk in literary circles.
Is this stirring people's curiosity?
Oh, yes, very much so.
In the larger literary world?
Absolutely. And Sarah, I think, is feeding that. She's putting together a bibliography of his works. I mean, he wrote for Esquire. He wrote for the American Mercury, but he also he did some interesting things with short stories that have not been done up until that point. They were unusual, but I think what Sarah has discovered, even a lost novel that hasn't been printed. And what makes it interesting, it's about World War I responses to Germans in this country. And there's not been a novel written about that yet. And I think her goal is to get that published and his short stories collected and published.
It doesn't appear he was as alienated, let's say, as some of the other more notorious members of the Lost Generation. I mean, he attended law school. He served in the Coast Guard.
Right. He did. He enlisted in 1942. At that time, he would have been 42, so he was probably... Yeah. Too old for active service in the regular military, but he thought his skills, he grew up in Michigan, he sailed a lot, and he thought his skills sailing would help.
On Walloon Lake, as it turns out, with Papa, yeah.
Yeah, and also on Lake Michigan. His brothers had boats, big boats on Lake Michigan. I think one of the things, John definitely was radical. He was had serious communist leanings in the 1930s. Which was not all that unusual among the cultural elite. There was a lot of sympathy for farming, for things like that, farmers and what they were going through. And I think he went through a period of time when that was the case. But when it came down to it, he was patriotic. He was a strong family member.
Got to be one of the few communist sympathizers who ended up becoming a member of the Coast Guard.
Right.
That still kind of blows my mind.
It does a lot of people. And it says because he passed their rigorous testing for background testing that he was an okay guy.
Very interesting. You can learn more about this from the Historical Society of Greater Lansing. Bill Castanier is vice president of that organization. He also writes, of course, for Lansing City Pulse. And we've been talking about the publication of What Happens, a novel by John Herman of Lansing, almost 90 years after it was banned for obscenity. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.